Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. That is Ryan Horvath. We are happy to have you with us. 414-799-1250. The more you call, the less we talk. You can also tweet us, 1250 AM The Fan. And you can reach us on Facebook there, too. There was a call yesterday. I have to play for you. I will this hour. I have a new life coach, or at least someone has somewhat offered their services, and I do want to play it for you because I want to hear your reaction to it, but also, this guy is already a part of morning show lore. I got more texts and DMs about this one call.
That's all?
Than I've gotten in a long, long time about anything we've done.
Well, I love the tease as the producer of the show, as I see Todd's not here, and that's why the tweet's not up, because Twitter's down. Radio Joe stayed signed into all of his stuff, and it was his final. I didn't get to see Radio Joe yesterday, so I want to start the show really quickly by saying my goodbyes to Radio Joe, who, when I started here, showed me the ropes of how to work the board and taught me all the tricks, because I hate running the board. So I'm going to miss Radio Joe. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to miss them too, but the rule in radio is once somebody leaves, you have to pretend like they never were here.
I think that's only if they become competition or if they go somewhere else.
No, radio who? Doesn't exist.
Really?
That's the rule.
They
never existed.
I'll break it for a true friend in radio. No,
we break it all the time. I think that it's important to
acknowledge those
that have been here.
Yeah. When the Ryan Horvath show begins, whenever that'll be, I will have Joe on as my golf analyst. So anyway, though.
I want to have Joe on from time to time. I don't want him to just be out of my life, but right. I had him on at the end of the show yesterday. Radio Joe, longtime producer of our midday program, filled in all bunch of different spots. He's filled in on this very show, some days without me, some days with me. And it's been, you know, good to get to know him. But he was talking yesterday about, you know, how this job's hard and, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, go after him for his takes. And I said, so you quitting, would you say the trolls have won? And I don't know if that's the send-off he was looking for on his final day.
I don't blame him if the trolls have won. It's a weird world out there on the social medias, and you have to be on there. So I really wouldn't blame him, to be quite honest. Anyway, I love the tease, but now I kind of like need to hear this call, because you teased it to me yesterday, and you said, I think I'm going to play some back on the show. And so I didn't go back on the Odyssey app like I should have, because I wanted to save it for today. I wanted to be looking you in the eyeball when I hear this phone call, I feel.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did that. I'll play just after 6:30.
Okay, 6:30. All right, sounds good. We got a game to recap. How about them Brewers bats?
You know what's funny about the Brewers is, I'm in a spot where this isn't funny about the Brewers, it's funny about me. Mm-hmm. And it might not even be funny. It might be like cause for alarm and maybe some early onset. I need your update in the morning or Sam's update to know what happened in the Brewer game. Because I'm like 51st dates. Like I woke up totally clueless with what happened last night.
Well, that's a lot of pressure. Can I give you a better update right now? Because
it's all coming back to me. I watched the entirety of the game as one does every night, But then I wake up and I'm like, what happened last night? Freddie pitched. Casey Stilgar deleted her Twitter, and it like all comes back to you.
Ooh, she's not very liked. In the- Honestly,
move on.
No, look, really quick, can I say something though? Can I say just one thing? It has to suck, though. I will say this in can't like that like Eric Sogard. Oh, I mean, if I was today, I'll move on.
Yeah.
I'd cut him. But here's what I'm gonna say. I don't know, though, because you know how what has to suck, though? Imagine just being here at work right now doing your job, and your wife is at home just firing off tweets. Or say this. Like, imagine being somebody's wife, and you're just at your job, maybe as, like, a teacher or doing something, and your husband is at home firing off tweets about how he hates Ryan Horvath and he should lose his job even though he's a kindergarten teacher. Like, imagine how embarrassing that would be, like, for your family. So that's why I don't love social media right there.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because imagine if he gets cut and he's like, wait, what did I do? And they're like, well, actually, you're not good. You don't do a whole lot. The reason you're here in Chicago is we're actually trying to lose as many games as possible, even though we have like three dudes that'll probably end up in the Hall of Fame. We're trying to actually trade all three of them. You're cut, though. And then you find out you're cut because, you know, your significant other was on social media. That's what I don't love about the cancel like world is that, man, like, dang, that's a hard way to lose your job.
Well, you're going, I mean, you're ahead of the boat here. Sogard hasn't lost anything yet.
No, I know. I was just saying. I mean, I think I'd have to cut him, though.
Let's keep it.
Well, I mean, it's going to be huge.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Well, no, I mean, it's going to be, everybody's going to be talking about it. It's going to be huge backlash. Did you see, like,
yeah, but this show isn't allowed to talk about non-sports.
Well, we're not going to talk about it, but everybody got a hold of it, so everybody nationally will be talking about it today, except us, because we'll be talking about Daniel Vogelbach and how, if I was the Cubs yesterday, all I would have done would be hit choppers to first base at Keston Hira. Why isn't that every team's just...
Well, last night, Keston was at second. I do have to correct you on that.
Oh, you're right.
But I don't like him at second. I want him at first. If you're going to play him at first, play him at first. Don't throw him back to second because Colton Wong's hurt.
I knew that. I was actually just trying to get myself out of the
right, and you are half-testing me, and I appreciate that. It's good to stay sharp, even though, again, I 51st dates it every morning.
I started shaking in my boots there because I brought up a real topic. I was like, I got to get out of this.
Yeah, we can't talk about real topics. It's just not what the audience wants.
So then I was rattled. Thank you.
It's just not it. Mm-hmm. I can't tweet about him. I can't even talk to my own wife about anything. She says, Bart, someone might have the house bugged. I go, you're right, honey. You are right. But last night, the story, well, there's a couple of them. Freddie Peralta was great. Again, another great effort by the starting pitching. The ERA of the last turn of the order was 0.32 from all five guys. Freddie did not lift that too much. He had one earned run over six innings, struck out 10. Freddie Peralta, who actually was the precipice for the call from the life coach yesterday. I'll explain that too a little bit later, 6:35. But Freddie had 10 Ks. He is brilliant with the strikeout. In the last 3 years, he's a top five guy when it comes to strikeouts over nine innings, and he was great yesterday. But the Brewers, it looked like he did give up the home run to Chris Bryant in the fourth, so it looked like, okay, you're gonna get a great offensive explosion over the weekend, and then right back to Monday, you're gonna have another pitching performance that is just wasted. And that's the way the game felt until the sixth inning, when Albert Azole, as my friend tells me, and I think he's right, he loads the bases. And do you keep him in? Do you not keep him in? He'd only thrown 68 pitches at that time, and I know Cubs fans are debating about that this morning because the guy that came in, Andrew Chafin, more affectionately known as Lou from Little Big League.
Yeah, good one.
He came in and started giving up a bunch of hits. And the big hit was to Luis Urias, who we talked about a lot yesterday as somebody that just needs to get it going. He's got to figure it out. And he comes in as a pinch hitter for Vogelbach, but he comes in, then finishes the game at short. And he has this big hit, a line drive down the left field line. And that's the kind of hit that he needed. It was a great moment for him. Now let's hope it's a start of many great moments instead of like Jonathan Scope homered off Madison Bumgarner, and that was the only contribution he had while he was here, and we all remember it. That was it. That's all he did. And so with trading Arcia, with giving Urias more time, although ironically enough, he did not play shortstop last night, at least to start the game. That honor went to Robertson. Rice comes in as a pinch hitter, and he has improved his batting average to a whopping 103. But a big hit to start a crooked inning. The Brewers score six in the sixth. Things do get a little shaky in the ninth due to a clerical error. Angel Perdomo comes in the game, the big, tall reliever, but he had to be scratched because he wasn't on the official card. So Drew Rasmussen comes in and starts giving up hits and walking dudes, and then Josh Hader has to come in for the save. That's a recap. That's your, if you 51st dates yourself, your own brain, that's what happened last night. So a good outing. It looked like it was going to be an outing wasted by the pitching, but one inning was all it took, six runs in that inning, and the Brewers improved to 6-4 on the year.
Yeah, I saw some people were like, oh, you had to use Josh Hader tonight, but I actually was kind of glad that they had to use Josh Hader in
that
situation.
Yeah, he didn't pitch since Wednesday.
Right. Obviously, you don't want to be in that situation where it's a three-run game with anybody on the bags, right? But against the Cubs, like, look what they've done. They're the worst hitting team in the major leagues. This is their worst start hitting ever in team history. And you got to think of how many bad teams they've had in their history. I think they're hitting like 101. What are they hitting? Like 132 or something like that as a team. So
yeah, I was going to mention that yesterday because I saw someone tweet about it, but I thought it was a joke, so I didn't bring it up. But it's true.
Yeah, they're hitting like 132 as a team. I mean, they've been terrible. And Chris Bryant's been really good, so he'll probably get traded to the Phillies. So if you're a betting man or you're ever in Las Vegas and you want to play a ticket 4-1 for the Phillies just to win their division, maybe do that because they're probably going to be buyers at the deadline if they continue to win like this. And I feel like that's where he ends up with Bryce Harper. It'd be nice to have Chris Bryant in Milwaukee, but there's no way that that'll happen unless the Cubs do let him hit free agency. But they've stunk, so I thought it was good to get Hader some work. Like you said, I mean, he hasn't pitched. And also, yeah, just, I mean, again, you don't want to be in a three-run game, but I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world to get him out there, get him a look. It was, you know, good to get him some
action. Yeah, you know, long-term, I mean, sorry, Drew Rasmussen's ERA, but long-term it probably...
Yeah, who cares about ERA this year, you know?
It probably paid off better for the Brewers because not only did they get to get Hader in, who hasn't pitched since Wednesday, like I mentioned,
right,
but it was a high-leverage situation. It was a real save situation. We always know that some of these relievers come in, and if it's not a save situation, they, like, don't know where they are.
Yeah.
So at least Hader was able to come in and do that. I think if you're going to talk about Brewers relievers, there is some concern, maybe. It's so early. But Devin Williams has not looked like he did a year ago.
Yeah.
Last night was his first scoreless inning of the season.
Coming off an injury, so.
Yeah, shoulder injury. This. Did walk a couple, but there is maybe... I wouldn't say concern, but I would say you perk up a little bit when he's on the mound at this point and try to figure out if he's going to have a good outing or not. So a good day for the Brewers. Obviously, they win. They're back at it tonight with, I believe, Woody's on the bump and then Burns.
Yep.
So the Cubs are going to have to face the Brewers' top two guys coming up the next couple of days. Night game today, 6:40. Postgame show to follow, and then a day game tomorrow. Craig Counsell, the Brewers screwed up that lineup card a little bit. At the end of the night, we'll hear his explanation for that. And then an update on a couple of injuries because there was a big star not in this game last night. And then I do want to talk a little bit about the Cubs because I am just perplexed about what their goal is. So we'll talk about that too. And then 6:35, Horvat missed it, and you may not have heard it either. But this guy, this caller.
Is this real or was this planted?
I wish it was planted. Sometimes things happen like this where I'm like, I kick myself that I didn't think about it because not only did this guy call in and rag on me for 3 minutes and, you know, it took me off guard. So I tried my best and I'll want your grade on that, your critique.
Who was screening the calls yesterday, Todd or Sam?
Oh, it was Sam. But what happened was this guy called in and did the old loop-de-loo.
Ah.
The old twisty twist.
What was his name?
Jim.
Jim. Oh.
Life coach Jim.
Life coach Jim.
Yeah, so he called in and said he wanted to talk about Freddie Peralta and I guess he gave like a big explanation to Sam, and Sam's like, "Oh, great, let's put you on air." And then the guy's like, "You know, I'll let you listen to it. It'll be in about 20 minutes." But then what happened was it spurred 30 minutes of people calling praising us. So obviously, I took all those calls. Now that's not the goal today. I just want you to hear it today. So that coming up, Cubs Brewers. More on that coming up much sooner because it will be next 414-799-1250. Here on The Fan.
Chafin deals. Urias down the line. That is fair. Into the corner it goes. does that feel for Arias? He is scuffled mightily at the plate. Boy, coming up big. First pitch. Got a pitch in on him and just inside that left field line. And Luis Arias, wow. Boy, that's a big hit.
That's Bally Sport Wisconsin on the call. Brian Anderson, Bill Schroeder. Which, you know what I was thinking of? Because B.A., normally this time of the year, he's still wrapped up in his NBA duties. And you got to travel all over the country for these games. But he's been calling NBA games in his basement with COVID. So that allows him.
He had COVID? Or because of COVID?
Because of, there was a pandemic where people had to work from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just needed you to clarify.
Oh, no, he got his first shot, I was told, he said.
How'd he feel after it?
I think he felt good.
Good. How'd you feel after your first one?
Just the next day, it feels like someone punched you in the arm.
Just your arm was bothering you a little bit?
I mean, not even bother, but you gotta have some side effects. You got shot one today?
Mm-hmm.
I got shot two on Friday. For some people, shot two knocks them right out.
I was going to say, good move by you doing it on a Friday.
Well, yeah, but people forget that I'm also doing it with my wife. And so if we both are down,
yeah, wow,
we're screwed.
Yeah, me and my wife had to strategically place ours.
Nah, we didn't care.
Okay.
My son, what is he, 20 months now? You can take care of
him. I think you'll be all right. You might get a little headaches and body chills.
My son's old enough that when it's his birthday, like, you know, we celebrate his 7-month birthday. And he's old enough now where I missed his last birthday.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Brian Anderson, so he can still, because he's calling games from home, he can go to Miller Park last night, or whatever it's called. And then he can go to his house tonight and be on NBA. And then he can go back to American Family Field on Wednesday. So, it's working out for him. It's costing Matt LaPay. Normally, this is Matt LaPay time. It's costing him run as the Brewers play-by-play man because they don't need him for the extended stretch. I believe Jeff Levering will be on the TV call tonight. And if you missed Fox Sports Wisconsin, it was very interesting. Last night, FS1 was carrying the game. This is super nerdy about TV. And normally, when FS1 would carry the game, they would just take the Fox feed. But now, Bally Sports Wisconsin isn't Fox, so FS1 had to do their own graphics. So it was the old Fox Sports Wisconsin graphics, but it was different announcers, but they used the same camera feed. Way too nerdy. No one cares. Bart, weren't you going to talk about Angel Perdomo?
Well, why did I get to watch the game on Fox Sports 1 like I did last night? Because I did, because it was a national broadcast, so I wanted to check it out. Why do you think that wasn't blocked out?
Baseball is weirder and differenter.
I didn't think about that until I just like 5 seconds ago, and I was like, you know what? I watched the Fox Sports broadcast last night. How did I do that? Because usually it doesn't work out
like
that.
Yeah, baseball won't let you watch games on their MLB package if you live in Iowa for the 6 teams that are closest to you.
Right.
But in Milwaukee, if you have the Brewers on Bally Sport Wisconsin, you can still watch them on FS1.
That's
on
right.
A totally different feed.
That's right. That's right. Has it always been that way? Because I know
as far as I know, but they used to simulcast.
Right.
So they had their own broadcast last night. It was a national broadcast. But what they normally do is save on expenses and just take the Brewers feed and just air that.
I guess I never really thought about it like that because I've always just usually watched the local broadcast. But, you know, obviously a lot of people now this year can't watch the local broadcast, so they were probably pleased last night being able to watch it on Fox Sports 1, although if they have Fox Sports 1, because I know that that's not in every single package either for some reason. But I didn't really think about it until this morning, which is weird. All right. You learn something new every day. How about that?
Yeah, you really do. You also learn that you don't just get to pitch in a big league game. If you are called up on the big league roster, you have to be on the lineup card. And Perdomo comes in the ninth inning last night. And it really could have been a scary situation because if Perdomo doesn't pitch, which he didn't, and Rasmussen struggled, which he did, the Brewers could have found themselves losing this game because of a clerical error. Now, thankfully, Josh Hader came in and shut it down about as quick as you can shut it down. But the Brewers tried who they just called up Perdomo the other day and sent down Yardley, at least to the training site. But it did not work out because of, again, a clerical mistake.
Hey, Craig, on the Perdomo thing there, what was the explanation there? Was he just not on the lineup card?
He was not on the lineup card. So, look, it's our mistake. it's an automated system now. That's when you make a roster move, it's supposed to auto-populate the lineup, but it's our responsibility to check the lineup. For whatever reason, it wasn't on the umpire line. It was on our other lineup card, but it wasn't on the one given to the umpires.
So the lineup card, I mean, it matters. They don't just go out and exchange a lineup card just for S's and G's.
Right.
It matters. There's been instances where the Brewers have batted out of order in the past under Craig Counsell. And, you know, I think it was Ryan Braun and somebody else did it. It doesn't happen too often, but then Bill Schroeder was telling a great story last night about how Michael Young was a Brewer and Robin Yount were Brewers. But they messed up and put Robin Young and Michael Young. So then Robin Yount batted. They were playing the Tigers. Sparky Anderson came out and said, hey, that's not his name. On the card, he's Robin Young. You just sent out Robin Yount. And they screwed up, and then they had to take Robin Yount out after that. Even though we all knew what was going on, but it mattered because it's what the lineup card said. So another quirky, interesting thing about baseball, but if you're not on the roster, you can't play. I think that's pretty straightforward, but it almost cost the Brewers last night there in the ninth.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird things. It's just, you know, unfortunate for Craig that...
For Perdomo, too.
Right, exactly. But I put out a tweet last night I don't tweet very much, but I said somewhere out there, you know, Rick Ramoshgosh is still cursing Craig Counsell because we've seen some good from Craig, but, you know, just a little mistake like that. I could see him obviously flipping out. But, yes, you know what?
Hey, you got a lot of likes on that tweet.
Did I?
Yeah.
On that one? I didn't think everyone really took off the way that it should, but.
Well, people miss Rick and Oshkosh, who we are assuming is not with us, sadly.
Yeah. Or he found a new radio show to call into. He's probably calling into the show across the street, Riggs and Alley. They're talking about, when did you first leave a toothbrush over at your girl's house? And Rick's probably calling in like, Craig Counsell sucks. And they're like, well, let's just roll with it because he's radio gold. You know, they probably stole them from us. Like everybody else in this building steals our content.
Yeah.
They probably did as well. Mm-hmm. But you know what was weird is that a couple people I had to just get rid of the comments, but there were a couple in there that were saying like, you guys overrate Craig Counsell so much. How about this blunder? How about this blunder? I really don't want to get into all the tweets, but there are really people out there that don't like Craig Counsell.
Well, I that's a longevity thing. He's the longest tenured manager in the National League. When someone's around for a long time in sports, for sure, you start to say like, let's get something new. You get that,
yeah.
You get that 7-year itch. Although with a lot of our managers and coaches, it's like year three.
You ever realize though, like sometimes, you know, it's kind of like if you're like in a relationship for like 45 years, I would assume. And then maybe, like, you know, you get a good haircut and a girl checks you out and, you know, you're like, man. But you don't realize what you got is I guess what I'm trying to get at. And I think that you don't realize that sometime with coaching. Now, I don't think that's Coach Bud. I'm sure a lot of people will be happy when Coach Bud gets fired.
Well, yeah, Coach Bud's no good. Yeah.
Right. But if you remember the year before that, it was a disaster where Jason Kidd gets fired. Joe Prunty ends up taking over. The year later, they win 60 games. They're the number one overall seed in the East, and they have a 2-0 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, would have went to the NBA Finals and beat the Golden State Warriors, who were completely dead and fell apart. So I'm just saying, like, sometimes...
Joe, printing money,
yeah,
Prunty.
There you go. The grass isn't always greener. That's what I was... It's early still for me. I was trying to think of that one. You know, I feel like sometimes...
Joe, this silver-haired assassin, Prunty.
Like, I remember towards the end of the run in Los Angeles...
Rule of threes. Joe, the pro, Prunty.
There we go. People wanted to... Wasn't that the same one, though?
No, they're three different ones.
Okay, good. People wanted like Phil Jackson out of Los Angeles, and we're sick of the triangle offense. I'm just saying, sometimes, you know, it's like you do got to look at different things. You know, the reason why you don't advance to the World Series is pretty much based off of talent. The Dodgers go to the World Series every year because they're stacked with talent. Look at their rotation. And then if for some reason they are in a little bit of a struggle and only have like a 3-game lead in the division, they freak out and they acquire somebody like Manny Machado at the deadline. You know, or a huge name. It's just what they do.
I'm sure wherever Rick is, whether it's on this plane of existence or elsewhere, he is still upset about Craig Counsell, Rick and Oshkosh, a legendary caller. there may be a replacement for him.
Who?
We have life coach Jim, who called in yesterday. Now, Horvat missed this call. It happened about 8:35 or so. So I do want to play it for you, and I want your reaction. And if you guys missed it too, I do want to bring that to your attention. So new possible member of the Mornings with Bart Whack Pack or call crew, and Mornings with Bart's my old show from K107.1.
What was the station?
I called the show Mornings with Bart.
No, I know that.
And it was K107.1.
What a great name for a station. Like, that's a TV show in the 80s featuring Bart Wink.
Well, then after I left, they changed it to country, so it's now 107 The Bull.
Yeah, see, why is every country station, like, especially in
the Bull,
the smaller
Wolf,
market?
The Eagle?
Yeah. Why?
Because animals are in the country? I don't know.
Yeah, but I noticed that, like, everywhere I've went besides here, it's been the same situation. A country station, the Bull. Yeah.
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 Something to think about.
I don't know. I'm just pretty jacked to get to hear this finally. And then
Life Coach
to,
Jim, yeah. If you tweet us, 1250 AM The Fan, I am going to put up a poll on Twitter at Wings Thinks. Bigger moment for The Fan, 1250 AM The Fan. I got to put that AM in there, 1250 AM The Fan today.
Yep.
Return of Evan Heffelfinger.
Or Return of the Mac.
Or Craig Counsell's on the big show at 12:30.
Really? I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I may get vaccinated just to listen to that, just to come in and listen to it live.
Bigger moment for The Fan today. Counsell on big show 12:30 or Return
of the Mac.
Evan Heffelfinger.
You know, when you think about it, man, that's one of the great songs of our generation.
Mac Morrison.
Yep.
All right, the tweet is out. You can tweet at Winks Thinks. So yesterday I was talking about Freddy Peralta as he was to get the start last night and did. And one of the great things about Freddy Peralta, since he started his MLB career, he's good at striking people out.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the nicknames was Fastball Freddy because he gets a lot of guys on his fastball. Now, over time, as we've seen, he's developed a few more pitches, and he looked really good again last night, and he had 10 strikeouts last night. So I had this stat here. Coming into yesterday's game, Freddie had a K through 9 innings pitch rate of 12.26. So he had 10 strikeouts in 6 innings yesterday, and how this works, I don't think I have to explain it to you. I'm always happy to, is across 9 innings, if you take the average, Freddy Peralta is going to have 12.26 strikeouts.
Yep.
And there's only 3 guys since he debuted that are better in that category. Only 3 guys since 2018 strike out more guys than Freddy Peralta does. That would be Chris Sale, Garrett Cole, and Max Scherzer. So I say this stat and I think, hey, this is pretty cool. Max Scherzer was a lacrosse logger. And I'm pretty sure Chris Sale was too, and he was. And these are 2 guys that played in the Northwoods League. And then I got into a story about some of the things that I did with the loggers. I used to randomly, our TV station was affiliated with them, so I would do the Run the Bases promotion in the bottom of the third. I'd do that, you know, I'd be like, oh, look at it, it's the TV reporter here. To what a treat this is for us baseball going fans to see a real newsman on the field. So I told that story. That struck a nerve, or at least provided the impetus for this phone call. Jim. Now, Jim called in, and I saw it was Jim from Cudahy on the call screener. And I always, when I see a, you know, I love first time callers, but when I always see a new name, I think, well, what are we in for here?
Yeah.
But he had talked, and that, you know, part of the job of our 9 producers that we have here, because one would not be enough at all. It'd be a crime if we only had one, especially if they had to be a part-time co-host. But what these producers do is they screen the calls. And you have the call screener guide in front of you if you do not.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Well, what are some of the qualifications with the call screener guide?
Oh, all right. you got to tell the callers, not ask the host how they are. You just get right to the point. That's what you tell the caller.
Yep.
So, you know, one thing we don't like in the radio biz is when you say, hey, how are you?
Like, and then I say good, and then I say,
yeah,
how are you?
Yeah, that's awkward. Just say,
a waste of time.
Yeah, just come right on and just say, yo, Craig Counsell. That's why we like Rick from Oshkosh. Rick from Oshkosh doesn't come on like, hey, Bart, how you doing? How's this? No, he comes right on. He spits the fire. Craig Counsell sucks. Boom. Do not tell callers. Oh, yeah. Tell callers to turn off the radio. You got to turn. We know you want to hear yourself. It's going to be a delay. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work for you, and it's going to sound terrible on the air. So what you do is you think you got a good call, you want to hear it, go back, check it out on the Odyssey app. Download Odyssey if you haven't yet. Check out BetQL Daily when I'm on there. I went 7-0 on picks. I had Freddie Peralta yesterday, over 6.5 Ks plus money.
That's an easy bet.
What do we hit that by the fifth inning? Boom.
That's an
easy
bet.
I know some
bet.
People don't want to hear about me gambling. Wham, wham, wham. But also,
I'm not one of them. I like
if
it.
If they do not sound good when screening, they probably will not sound good on the air. You know what? I've been really lenient with that lately.
Yeah, our show rule's different. Everyone gets on.
That's your rule, though.
My rule.
I'd put about 70 on, and you know who you are. I love most of you.
But the big thing with the call
I would
screener,
rather not have a caller on the ear than have a bad caller.
No, I disagree.
I agree.
I disagree.
Pick the best callers. Sometimes, yeah, okay.
I like taking butt dials. I like whatever. Be in the drive-thru when you call me. I don't care. I think the worse, the better. Okay. So Jim calls in yesterday, and we're talking about what you're concerned about, what you feel good about. And Jim goes on and on to Sam, who was screening the calls yesterday, about how Freddie Peralta's this, Freddie Peralta's that. And Sam's like, oh, we got to get this guy on here. He's good. So Jim gets on the air, and I'm going to play for you how this went down. Now, I'm going to play it. It's just a couple minutes. I want to play it uninterrupted and get your thoughts on it at the end. Okay? So I'm just going to play this.
I'll critique this out of a 5-star call.
Collect your thoughts. And I want to know how I did.
I'll fill in the stars that I give it.
And I want to know what you think of the basis of the call. But this happened yesterday later in the show.
Jim.
Horvat did not hear it. And if you didn't, I'm not just playing this for Horvat, but I got more texts and tweets about this guy.
And when your son was born.
I would love for this guy to be our new Rick in Oshkosh.
I feel like it's going to make me a little nervous. So maybe you guys could do this when Sam's here in case the FCC. I don't want to get in any trouble.
This is Jim. Jim, the life coach. 414-799-1250. Jim is in Cudahy. What's happening?
Gentlemen, look, I haven't tuned in a while since the former co-hosts were jettisoned. But I did tune in today by mistake. And I did hear the discussion of the lacrosse loggers, which was, you know, very interesting, I must say. But, guys, I know it doesn't seem like this, but you're in a bigger town now. Even though you're at the end of the dial and nobody's listening, you are in a bigger market. We really don't need to go back to the lacrosse loggers for content, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't. I'd like you to explain that more. Because I was talking about two guys who have been good with strikeouts better than Freddie, talking about the Brewers. There's two guys who cut their teeth in the state. That's pretty interesting. So I brought that up and then told a dumb little story about when I used to work over there.
Well, Bart, I guess what I'm boiling this down to is you're not in Fond du Lac anymore. I mean, come on, step up your game.
I got to say, I don't disagree. I mean, I don't agree with you. I think it's pretty cute that you've called in after a year and this is how you want to do this. But
what? Do you have anything that you can objectively disagree with other than the fact that it's cute?
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, my job is to elicit emotion, and I've elicited enough emotion in you to call in and tell how much you hate me.
Because the internet went out in my house, and I had to do something. I'm a life coach, Bart, and here's the thing. My job is to tell people what to do, with their careers.
Yeah.
And so what I do is,
you think I should quit, Jim?
I give them examples of what not to do, and that's the only reason I tuned in today, is to give some content to some folks that I'm going to be coaching today, to tell them, look, man, don't do this because you're not cut out for this.
Yeah. So, Jim, why'd you stop listening?
Well, I didn't like it when you guys, there was a guy that used to be on there. Let's face it, this guy got completely humiliated. You know who I'm talking about?
You can say his name.
Chuck.
Yeah, I miss Chuck. I hung out with him at the ballpark the other day.
Wow. Okay. I didn't like the way they treated Chuck.
I was sad that Chuck left, too. What was I supposed to do? I feel bad about it.
Oh, Chuck at least had something that you guys are still searching for.
Yeah, what's that?
Talent and ability.
All right. Well, I would like to, your life coach, I'd like to sign up for some sessions.
All right. You got it, bro.
No, I'm not kidding. And I'm going to come, come to your sessions. I'm going to tell you how terrible you are.
We're doing Zoom sessions at this point because I don't know if you've been vaccinated yet or not, but we're going to do Zoom sessions.
Must took a lot of courage to call in and do this today, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not trying to hold myself out to be a Navy SEAL or something. I mean, I'm just...
No, you think pretty highly of yourself. I can tell that.
Well, with good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jim, have a terrible day and an even worse week. I hope you get stuck at every red light that you encounter. And then he hung up. So now we're back to present day. That was Jim's call from yesterday. I play it so that Horvath can hear it. And if you missed it, feel free to enjoy it. But what your thoughts? Because I got more text on that. And now one thing that happened after that was everybody with a phone called in to give us our support. Which was nice. No, we're not fishing today. I just want Horvath to hear it. Your thoughts, Horvath, if you could grade that out. If you could do that.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable, kind of.
Yeah, it was more uncomfortable than I remember it being.
Like, can we take a break maybe so I can gather? Like, I felt weird listening to it. Okay, so, you know, as far as, like, it was a pretty solid... Like, he didn't crack, really. You know, like, he just straight up, like, hates you.
Yeah.
And me, probably, and that's fine.
I'm not even sure he knows who you are.
Yeah, that's fine. I disagree with a lot of the things that he said. I think that some people think that maybe we have more power than we do. Like, my name isn't even on the birthday list, so who's here, who's not anymore? I have nothing to do with that. He starts off by saying, I tuned in today. Big mistake. Hilarious, by the way.
Really funny.
You know, the internet in his house went out, of course. Typical. Maybe get better internet, pal. My internet didn't go out. I did a show from home yesterday. Two of them. He brings up the loggers thing. That was hilarious. He's a life coach. I bet you I'm better. I guarantee you I'm way better at life than Jim. I would argue for Jim to call and do that with me.
Well, then, so I put up a Twitter poll.
Or me and him could box at Experience today.
I put up a poll. Is life coach a real job?
And Jim, we could do this anytime, buddy.
Most people said no, life coach isn't a real job. But of course, it's 2021. So then I got this real impassioned letter from a woman. I am so lost without a life coach. They have helped me so much. How dare you even bring this up? You know, because you can't just goof.
Right. I don't know. It made me feel uncomfortable. And now I think I don't know. I think I'm almost kind of coming to your defense. I feel like I'm, you know.
Well, I'd rather that than you be pro-Jim.
Oh, no, screw Jim. But it was a tremendous, like, you know, I also got to give Jim credit because it was a good, like, prank radio call.
Well,
if you hate somebody, that's the way I'd go. Like, you know, I'd crack. I'd laugh.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I mean, he really went into you. And he was pretty articulate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good...
Could I have handled it better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, no, I don't know. I probably actually couldn't because, you know, what do you do there?
You know, one thing I regret is I did the, I'll come to where you work and tell you. I shouldn't have done that. I didn't like that I did that. But I do want to go to where he works, and I want a session. I want to know, because I've never had a life coach.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as Milwaukee's sports life coach.
I don't think Jim's really a life coach.
No.
I think he works at he was way too articulate, sounded way too good on air. He works in radio. He works at either a rival station
or another radio station.
We actually have a new sales guy starting. I think it might have been him in disguise.
He's like,
test me.
He's like, we got to get Ellerson in that morning. Yeah, we could sell Ellerson. He played for the Badgers.
Yeah, everyone loves the Badgers. So that's the Life Coach. We'll take your thoughts if you have any, 1250 AM.
I do got to say we provide the best sports content, though. You want to hear armed robbery with sex toy stories, go elsewhere. That's my problem with the gym call. Now, I was off, so if you guys were talking about loggers, maybe I should be on Jim's side. What the hell were you guys talking about the loggers
for? Well, Freddie Peralta, strikeout king.
I'm kidding.
Last 3 years, Chris Sale, Max Scherzer.
Oh, I'm kidding. I don't really care. I don't really want to get into
Eric Thames played there. Todd Rundgren's son played there. What's not to like about the lacrosse loggers? More coming up next.
Kind of getting him through that and then just, you know, telling himself that's all they're going to get. Because it was, you know, the way Adelaide was pitching, it was you're going to have to keep it tight. And Freddie did exactly that. And, you know, actually the way the pitches were going, I didn't know if we'd be able to get him through the sixth. And then he was really efficient in the fifth and sixth. So, you know, that might have been even a better start than the one in Chicago, really.
So the Brewers' starting pitching has been like all-time good. Their last turn through the order, the full turn, they had an ERA, the five guys did, of 0.32. And then Freddie does what he does last night, goes the six innings, gives up just a couple of hits, one earned run, which was the home run, and struck out 10. And you've already got a rotation with Brandon Woodruff, who's going to go today, and then Corbin Burns, who will go tomorrow. And you've got Brett Anderson, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser to round it out. If you can get this out of Freddie, I mean, this is number one, number two stuff that we've seen to start the season from him. And he's your three, and then Hauser could be your four, and then Brett Anderson, who... A guy like Brett Anderson in the last 20 years, outside of like Sheets and, you know, Woody Burns, he's like the Brewers' ace.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the Kyle Loesch, Matt Garza. That's what I look at him as.
Yeah.
Now he's a different kind of pitcher. Sure, they're all a little different, but I'm talking like a, you know, veteran guy who, you know, maybe the Brewers give him more money than other teams would. Just one of those kind of guys. He's like, I don't know, is he like a Doug Davis? Is he like a Chase Anderson, maybe? You know,
he's better than Chase Anderson.
And Chase has been all right.
Yeah.
Although, did he pitch last night? Chase pitch last night?
Yeah, Chase is an auto fade for me. But sometimes, you're right, though. Sometimes you could get some good stuff from Chase. I don't know.
By the way, every one of those guys I mentioned, I've been to a Brewer game where they've pitched a no-hitter through six. Just to go back to my example that every Brewer pitcher does that at some point in their career, but then they never go through seven. It's always through six,
And
it's always broken up in the seventh. But Freddie, man, we asked people yesterday, higher ceiling, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser. Freddie Peralta ran away with that. One message I got from John, a guy named John, said, Freddie's got a higher ceiling, but Hauser's got a higher floor, which means he thinks there's more variance with Freddie, which might be true, but the way Freddie's pitching like this, I mean, this is... The pitching staff, and I've always wanted pitching. I've always wanted pitching. I've always wanted Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish and whoever. I've always wanted these guys to come to Milwaukee. This is going to be a year where I don't want more pitching. I think what they got now, okay, the bullpen, you got to get more consistency out of, like Drew Rasmussen has been struggling, and Eric Yardley, you know, he got sent down to the training site. But with the starters, specifically the starters, I've got no complaints right now. And if my biggest complaint, if I think Brett Anderson is the fifth of the five and he's pitching the way that he's been, at least that last start, there's nothing to complain about when it comes to this rotation.
Yeah, no. I think Freddie has the higher ceiling. I mean, you saw it last night with the 10 strikeouts, and we've seen the double-digit strikeouts. You've seen some rough starts. So for him, it's just all about consistency. You know, can he do that 80% of his starts? Because there's going to be some nights where he has control issues. You know, there's going to be some nights where teams are looking for four-seamers and get a hold of them. But is he going to be consistently good? So right now the rotation's ridiculous. And again, I don't expect this all season long. I expect them to be solid all season long. But what they're doing right now is ridiculous. But there's going to be some, you know, road trips, some bumps in the road. But right now I think they have one of the best rotations. I'm not going to say right now in the National League just because on paper right now, yes, they do. But also, like, if you look around the National League and you look at the Mets, you look at the Nationals, obviously they have the bigger name, so they just have to prove they could do this in a 162-game season. But right now, I think they got the best rotation in the National League Central, and they're looking good right now.
The poll that we have today, because this is one question that probably will come up with Craig Counsell. He's on the Big Show 1230.
And they're scoring runs.
Yeah, so a good last three games for the Brewers. They've scored 24 in their last three. Bigger moment for the fan today, that is this very station. Craig Counsell on the Big Show in about 5.5 hours, 1230. Or Evan Heffelfinger is back to produce Rami's show. What's a bigger moment today? Counsell's only winning this poll, by the way, 57 to 43%.
Well, did Heffelfinger book Craig Counsell today?
I'm not sure Evan Heffelfinger could book Craig Carton.
Hey, who produced Brewers postgame last night?
Oh, that would be Austin.
Ah, okay.
Do you have some beef with Austin?
Not on air. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't. I was just wondering.
Okay.
No, sometimes I was just, honestly, I was just wondering who the...
Oh, okay. Well, we get a monthly schedule sent to us.
Because that's what I don't read that. I know when I got to be here. Same times every day, man. Why would I read the schedule?
Because you never know when we're going to air a random Illinois-Iowa basketball game. You got to look at the schedule.
Well, Sparky's a good enough boss where he would text me and say, hey, can you do this? Or a good enough boss to know that if he does, I will ignore that text. I would do it if they needed me. I've done that before. I used to run the board for Admiral games. I think I'm the last person here. You never did Admiral games.
Fooey if I didn't.
Did you?
Oh, I did a whole season worth.
Just you?
The Zetterbergs, the Volnerchecks, the Arvidsons.
Yeah, Harry Zolnercheck. One of my favorite. Admiral, great.
I think I was here when Pekka Rinne was here.
Shout out to Aaron Sims, one of the best play-by-play broadcasters in all of hockey.
Simsy.
Coach Sims.
Coach Sims.
Chris Sims. Hey. I tried to fight Chris Sims this week, and he wouldn't bite.
Nah,
I wanted to remind him about his top 10 wide receiver list literally last year that didn't have the best wide receiver in the league on it.
I want to talk about something that I don't want to talk about. But one thing I've noticed in this job is when there's smoke, there is fire. And there's too much smoke for comfort regarding the Green Bay Packers. More on that next.
Sports Flash right now.
7 a.m. from the 1250 a.m. The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath, first on The Fan in Milwaukee last night. Luis Urias had a pinch hit, three-run go-ahead double as the Brewers scored six times in the sixth. They beat the Cubs 6-3. Freddy Peralta gets the victory on the bump, moves to 2-0 on the season, struck out 10 over six innings of two-hit ball for the Brewers, who have now won five out of their last six. Josh Hader got two outs for his first save of the season. Came in after Javi Baez drove in a pair of runs with a one-out double to shut the door. Christian Yelich would sit out last night after leaving Sunday's game with back soreness. Craig Counsell says they're still in a day-to-day situation. Jackie Bradley Jr. got the start in left field, replacing Yelich for the first time since 2015. Travis Shaw, who also exited Sunday's game after fouling a pitch off his shin, returned to action last night. Up next for the Brewers, back at it tonight, Brandon Woodruff gets the ball. Gave up just one hit in seven shutout innings against the Cubs on Wednesday. Opponents batting just 179 this season against Woodruff, 7 of 39. Kyle Hendricks gets the ball for the Cubs. Steph Curry became the all-time points leader in Golden State Warriors history on Monday night, passing Wilt Chamberlain's previous record of 17,783 points. Steph scored 53 points in a 116-107 win over the Denver Nuggets, who lose star point guard Jamal Murray. Went down in immediate pain, injured his left knee on a drive to the basket in the final minute of the loss in what appeared to be a non-contact injury. Murray crumbled to the ground in pain, clutching his left knee and pounding the court. They will be evaluating him today. And in the NFL, Patriots star receiver Julian Edelman, who helped the New England Patriots win three Super Bowl trophies, was the MVP of a Super Bowl, announced his retirement in a video posted on social media, meaning in 3 weeks he'll end up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath, the hilarious, the witty, Ryan Horvat, who in his update made the same Edelman joke that everyone else made.
What one? I didn't, honestly, I was not on social media yesterday.
Oh, he retires. Of course he's going to Tampa in 3 weeks.
Check my social media. I probably sent like 3 tweets in the last 2 weeks.
What's the deal, man?
I just don't want it to take over my life, man. Too much going on. I got a kid that I'm nursing back to health. We're learning how to walk. I teach him. Literally, unfortunately, still at school virtually. Yeah. And I answer phone calls.
414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. What I forgot to tell you earlier was one of the phone calls we had yesterday, and I did play it for you because you missed it. Jim, the life coach. But the call of the day was Notebook Mike. Listen to this. This is just the very end of Notebook Mike's call. He has sound effects now.
What?
This is the very end of Notebook Mike's call.
Gotta go.
All right.
Stop.
He played a Hanna-Barbera sound effect off of his phone.
What is going on here lately?
Gotta go.
All right. I was blown away.
No, you added that.
No, I didn't.
How did he do that?
I don't know, but he did.
Wow.
I guess smartphones, you can play audio off your phone.
Is Notebook Mike a character?
I think everybody that calls in is a character in some way, shape, or form.
No, I mean, like, is that a an alias?
That, like, I made up?
Do you know Notebook Mike?
No, the problem is, with a lot of these guys that call in, they're so...
I feel like they're plants.
I'm mad they're not plants. Because they're so... You guys, the group of people that have been calling in consistently, you guys are so unique.
Unique New York.
That I wish I made you up. It, like, bothers me as like the creative genius that I am that I did not make you up.
Yeah.
It bothers me. Michael's in Slinger. I don't know too much about Michael. What's happening?
Oh, hi guys.
Are you a life coach?
Yeah, I was just I was scrolling on Facebook and I saw you ask about the Brewers' offense. I don't know if that's still the is that still going on or?
Well, this is the beauty of the show.
Okay.
We're kind of just stalling to think of something to talk about. So you calling in with this is very serendipitous. This is perfect.
Oh, okay, cool. I was watching the game last night, and, you know, we scored 6 runs, I mean, all in one inning. But, you know, I think I'm pretty – at this point, you know, I don't think you can say, you know, exactly, you know, what you think, you know, the Brewers' offense is, whether we're going to be good or, you know, whether we're going to be just, like, completely non-existent as an offense. But I do have optimism because – you know, during spring training, you know, I saw they brought back Shaw and I was like, oh my gosh, this is not, you know, this is not going to be good.
I think a lot of people were with you on that, Michael.
Yeah. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, we should have got somebody in free agency. Like, you know, that was at least, you know, serviceable because Shaw really, you know, struggled the last couple of years, but, he's surprised me so far. He's been, you know, I'd say he's been like the most consistent Brewer hitter.
His OPS is 861 this season so far.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's been really encouraging. And so, you know, if he can, you know, I was saying earlier, if he can be at least half of what he was, you know, before, you know, he started struggling when he was, you know, hitting 30 home runs a season, you know, I think, you know, that can, you know, be really, really big for the Brewers offense. You know, barring that, you know, Yelich continues to get back to where he was, and some of the other hitters, you know, like Avisal and Omar Novaez continue to swing the bat good, I think the Brewers can have a pretty, you know, serviceable offense, especially with the way our, you know, starting rotation and what we expect out of our bullpen. You know, if they can continue to, you know, be what we think they'll be, you know, I think the Brewers – you know, have something to be special this year.
Yeah, so that's a good way to put it, Michael. And thanks for the call, and I'm glad you called in. There's the way I look at this Brewers team. We'll get to the Packers in a moment. Actually, if we don't have to get to the Packers, that's fine too. I'm not in a rush to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I really am not. We will, but I'm not dying to do it today.
Okay, sounds like it.
But with now, Michael was a plant. That's my buddy. I said, please call in and talk Brewers. Get me off Rogers.
Yeah, right.
I'm just kidding. But the Brewers, they do have, like, they can be bad and they can be good. But I think a lot of us notice that there's a chance. I don't know if it's 5%, 10%, whatever it is. There's a chance for it to be really special, as Michael said. There's a chance for it to, you know, if these guys can all find a groove and find a rhythm at the same time. And we're seeing it already with the pitching. And so what we always fear with the Brewers pitching is whenever you get pitching like that, the offense is no good, and vice versa. Whenever the offense is great, the pitching struggles. Now, the bullpen, some guys are shaky. It seems like we can never have all three things good at the same time. But so far, they're off to a pretty decent start. Travis Shaw, 0 for 3 last night. He's a little banged up. Hit the ball off his shin. You'd like to see him continue. He's hitting 276, OBP, 344, as you mentioned, the OPS. Avi Garcia and Omar Narvaez are two guys that I look at with a big microscope because Andy Haynes, the hitting coach, went down to Miami specifically to work with those two guys. And those were two guys that, when the Brewers signed last year, they were known for their hitting. Both struggled, but then both are starting pretty good. Garcia with a couple of homers already, and Narvaez is batting 440. And then a guy like Billy McKinney, who comes in as a pinch hitter, stays in and has three hits, 3 for 3 yesterday. He's getting on base every two or three times he's up there. So Billy McKinney's looking good. Lorenzo Cain had a couple of homers. His batting average is down to start. Luis Arias, that was a huge hit for him last night. You want to see him get going. Keston Hiras had his struggles, did homer the other day. Christian Yelich is doing all right. He was hurt yesterday, still day-to-day. We don't know if there's going to be an IL stint for him or not. I would seem like no. They could put him on retroactively, but it seems like they at least want him available. I don't know if I expect him in there tonight or even tomorrow. Maybe they give him the series off. They've got Thursday off. He's back in there Friday. So, you know, he's got some back tightness. Just be safe with it, but not bad enough to put him on the injured list. So, yeah, I think that, you know, with the pitching the way it's been, and we don't think it's going to be this heroic all season, but it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of up to the offense to hold up their end of the bargain. And it is early. You know, Bradley Jr., 129. I'm just looking at batting average. I know that's bad. Hero, 129. Kane, 160. Vogelbach, 154.
Got to look at OPS and WAR.
103. Oh, I love WAR. I do love WAR.
You know, and the other thing is that what I like about this Brewers rotation is that you got two guys that, you know, could really be Cy Young candidates, but two guys that are really your aces. And if you look at, like, teams that historically obviously are competing, well, at least in the last 10, 15 years, that are there every year contending for World Series, like, look what the Dodgers have in Buehler and Kershaw, or look at the year that the Nationals won it. They don't win it if they don't have Strasburg and Scherzer. So it's good that you have that in Woodruff and in Burns right now.
Yeah, and if Burns and Woody are that way,
you can't just have like one ace now. It's like in the NBA, you know, you can't just have LeBron James. You need Anthony Davis.
But to have Burns and Woody both be those kind of guys, and then to get what you're getting from the other guys,
yeah.
Like if Peralta can reach this new level of a ceiling,
oh, I mean, then we're talking like, you know, one of the best rotations in National League history.
I mean, I think it was Big Poppy last night on FS1. I don't know if he stuck around for the postgame show.
I didn't. I was watching the NBA. There was a good one. Jamal Murray, I'm a little worried about, though.
Oh, yeah.
Went down.
We were talking about the NBA later. Your Phoenix Suns are number one in your power rankings.
Yeah.
And I know you love power rankings.
Oh, I thought you meant mine. I was going to say, no, they're not.
Well, they are in the NBA.com ones.
Rightfully so.
I mean, when the Bucks were there, you wanted to talk about that, and I no-sold you pretty hard.
Yep.
As I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I'll talk. I think I'm actually hosting for Rami 2 days next week, so it's just going to be 8 hours of all NBA talk by myself.
You are? Are you still in with me?
I was just plugging that. Yeah, I could still do something with you.
if the mood strikes you, come be on the show. You're sort of on.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, I think that when guys do the afternoon show, they try to take advantage of sleeping in a little bit.
Okay, all right.
But I'm already going to be up. I'm going to be on BetQL, so I'll be up ready. So I'll be on with you.
I think last week you were on the other shows more than you were on this one.
Friday?
You're doing hits with all those dudes?
Well, I told you, Friday they couldn't find Tim. I was a little worried about Tim. We had to put out an SOS for Tim, and I said I called all the liquor stores. I said, has anybody bought a carton of Marlboro Reds or 24-pack of Miller High Life in the last hour?
And they're like, are you kidding me? This is Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're like,
we're sold out.
Yeah, they're like literally everybody.
Justin's in Germantown, 799-1250. What's up, Justin? Hey.
You guys touched on quite a bit of stuff that I was, but how long do we have Burns and Corbin for? That's about 3.5 years yet, right?
Yeah, I'll look up the contracts officially, but they're not in any jeopardy of not being Brewers anytime soon.
Absolutely, and you guys mentioned Freddie Peralta, which I'm happy that you did, because he might be the best deal that we got right now at 3 years, what, 15 million, or 5 years, 15 million?
Yeah, he locked in. He wanted to not have to worry about it, you know, go through the arbitration every year, and he wanted some sort of, he's 1.2 this year, 2 next, 3 the year after, 5 in 2024, and 2025, it's a club option for 8, so he's locked up for the foreseeable future. Woodruff's through arbitration. He's not a free agent. Both Woodruff, all of them, Woodruff, Burns, and Hauser are under team control through the 2024 season.
Oh, that's great news. I didn't know. And if Hauser can, you know, turn it around, saw Devin Williams last night. It's going to be hard for him to repeat last year. But if you can get him back, I mean, you're not only talking about the best rotation and baseball with those three guys, but also probably the best bullpen once again with Hader and Williams if he can return to last year's form. And it was nice to see the Brewers bust out of it last night, especially against the Cubs. And I don't know if it's one of those things where you almost feel bad for the Cubs, but I can't bring myself to do it because it's just kind of nice to see them struggle. And I was texting a buddy, you know, he's a diehard Cubs fan, and it's just hard to believe that they can't find an offensive stride with the guys that they have. But I guess who cares about that? But if the Brewers can, you know, score, you know, that 4-7, 4-8 run range and everything with our pitching that we have, like the last, I think that this season, not only this season, but going forward can just be some special years for the Brewers if we just get a little bit more, you know, maybe some offensive weapons if we sign a guy or two.
Well, and this is, Justin, thanks for the call and thanks for bringing this up. I think that this is where developing your own guys is so important for a small market team like the Brewers. You've developed Woodruff. He's 28 now. You've developed Burns. He's 26, but they're still under team control for so long. Financially, Woodruff's making 3.2 here in 2021, and Burns is just over $600,000. So obviously, you keep him. Let's say you keep him for the next 4 years. They're going to get raises with arbitration, which is still a messed up system because you're arguing with your employer about it. It's just weird. The whole arbitration system's a little bit weird compared to other sports, but they will get more money. But they're not going. You're not signing a guy to 5 years, $75 million. If they have to go the free agent route, and that's one of the reasons why they wanted Luis Urias, is they wanted a guy that was, you know, $2-3 million cheaper and had more control than Orlando Arcia. So when you're a small market team like this, I mean, the fact that Burns, Hauser, and Woodruff, and Peralta are all under team control through at least this year and the next 3 years, and they're pitching like this, I mean, you don't want to get too overreactionary to a 3-game losing streak like a lot of us did, me. But you also don't want to get too, you don't want to overreact too much to how well the pitching's been. But I think we're seeing, you know, the top of what they can be. And it's cause for a lot of optimism.
Yeah, for sure. And not just for now, but for the future as well. So like you said, I mean, definitely good things going on right now. And it's also awesome to watch, which is cool, especially with Corbin Burns, you know, because with Woodruff, you kind of knew what you had for the last couple of years. You just wanted to see, you know, is he going to be your ace or your true number one? But with Burns, you know, there
true was number a, one. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, well,
we know true number two.
No, I mean, I remember.
Is Corbin Burns a true number two? 799-8565.
Is he good enough to be your ace, or did you have to go out there and pay big money for a free agent or go get a Sonny Gray? And they didn't do that. And now they got two guys, like I said, then that could potentially be, you know, Cy Young candidates. So they had the right idea. And now if Freddie ends up being what he's been so far this season, again, it's only two starts. They have both been against the Cubs, had a relief appearance in there, but he's looked damn good. I want to see him do it against somebody other than the Cubs right now, though, because I feel like the Cubs are just at their breaking point where they're going to be selling really,
What's the problem with them? Why are they bad? I'm looking at their lineup from last night right now, and it shouldn't be.
Really quickly, why they're bad. Well, Chris Bryant's been pretty good. He's going to get moved. He'll be in Philadelphia.
Rizzo, Bryant, Baez. A lot of teams would kill for those three guys.
Yeah, Rizzo hit .286. He'll have 32 homers and 95 RBI, but his problem right now is he's notoriously gets off to a slow start. He'll be all right. He'll give you what he always gives you. Or maybe he won't because he's pissed off because they don't want to commit to him. They didn't pay him, and so now he broke off contract talks. He's not going to talk to him until after the season. So I feel like that's one thing. I feel like pitchers have figured out Wilson Contreras. I think they've figured out pretty much everybody. These guys crowd the plate, throw at him a little bit, give him some chin music, hit him if you need to. But they're all looking for one pitch still. Javi's got off to a decent start, but again, half those hits came against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I think right now they're in this weird spot where, I mean, they just traded Yu Darvish for a bag of chips, a guy that could potentially win the Cy Young this year. Just traded him right in the National League to a team that could win the World Series, which shows you that they obviously don't have World Series hopes. So I feel like they're going to be sellers. Craig Kimbrell has looked awesome. I'd be shocked if they're going to sell if he's still on the team. Chris Bryant will probably get traded. Wilson Contreras will get traded. So I feel like you could kind of just cross them off.
Are they trying to win? What are they doing?
I mean, I feel like they came into this year and they're like, hey, we got some guys that we don't want to commit to. Let's see what they can do. And we'll see what we can get, because right now the trade value for him, like Chris Bryant, the trade value isn't what it was. I mean, when he was, you know, the NL MVP and Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, Javi Baez is good, except
problem is they gave out a bunch. Okay, so they went. This is the problem, like, about going all in baseball, though, is if you go all in like the Cubs did, look at all the moves that they had to make. Like, look at all the young talent, you know, that they had to trade away. Torres. Jimenez, I mean, they had to trade all these guys to get relief pitching, you know, to go out and get Chapman when they were making that run. That's what sucks about when you go all in. I mean, it's great, yeah, you win a World Series, but then, like, what do you have to sacrifice in return if you're going to go out and get a starting pitcher or a bullpen? Look at all these guys, all these prospects that the Cubs have traded that are now all-stars that have hit, you know, and so now you've given out also a bunch of bad contracts, like to Jason Hayward. So Jason Hayward's making what, you know, two Christian Yeliches will make.
But it paid off. It's not like they went all in and didn't pay off. They won the World Series.
Right, right. But you
and
know
how many Cubs fans
you know
would have said, how many Cubs fans would have said, I don't care, just give me one World Series. You cannot win one for the next 108 years.
Right. But let me say something about that. Look at how you could also call that World Series almost a fluke, okay? They go down 3-1 in the World Series. They're also down in the NLCS to the Dodgers. They have to come back from a 3-1 deficit. They blow a big lead in Game 7 and trail, then a rain delay hits that they come out of. So what I'm saying is, like, they built that whole team and they made all those moves. If Game 7 goes a different way, all those guys have regressed since 2016. That's how crazy baseball is. Like, we could say, oh, Keston Hira is going to be a five-time MVP. He could be, but they were – Javi Baez 3 years ago was right there in the running with Christian Yelich. He'll never be an MVP candidate ever again.
On the ground to the hole, Baez. Misclubbed, airmailed the green. And that one hitting the netting. And even Javi can smile about that one, just trying to get rid of it.
That's from your boys on the Marquee Network.
Yeah, so sometimes,
like, what the hell happened there?
I don't know. So sometimes, like, you know, you can't, it's hard to just throw Stearns under the bus, because going all in baseball, like, doesn't always work out. I'm not saying you have to do the sustained success, but you got to wait for the right moves, because, like, the Cubs towards the end, I mean, look at all the moves they made. Kimbrel, when they were actually, like, trying to win a World Series, stunk. Now he's lights out, but they're tanking. So sometimes, you know, you can't really go all in, I guess. That's what's up with the Cubs. They'll be sellers really soon. You could cross them off the teams to be worried about in the Central list. It's between the Cardinals and then the Reds. Are the Reds going to come back down to earth? And, you know, are the Cardinals going to get hot? Because that's the thing, man. Well, here's what the Cardinals will do. They'll be in third in the NL Central. They'll be behind the Brewers. They'll be behind the Reds. And then, like, in July, like, July 3rd through August 13th, they'll just go on this tear. Goldschmidt will have, like, 15 homers. Arenado will have, like, 16 homers. some kid will get called up that'll win like eight. He'll go 8-0 with an ERA of like 0.87. You know how it goes with the Cardinals, man. That's the Cardinal way. And then all of a sudden, they'll take over the division. They'll be right there.
It is pretty amazing how they're able to do that.
Every year.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Cardinals last week. Obviously, the Brewers saw them just from 2000. Let me just rattle this off. This is the St. Louis Cardinals now from 2000. Their win totals, I'm going to go quick. 95, 93, 97, 85, 105, 100, 83. Won the World Series.
How many?
78, 86, 91, 86, 90. Won the World Series.
Okay.
88, 97, 90, 100, 86, 83, 88, 91. Last year, 30 and 28. One season since 2000 where they did not have a winning record. It was 2007. Yeah. They were three games under 500. I mean, they have been consistently there. So we always do. I think last year was a year we said, the Cardinals aren't going to be anything. This year, yeah, they get Arenado, but what else did they do? But it's just, it is what they do. It's what they do, man. They just find a way, and you're right.
I hate them, but like, honestly, great. What a great organization. Now they don't win a world like, and that's the thing, like in baseball, you know, it's so hard to win the World Series, but you do want to be competitive. So you almost, yeah, you do want to sustain success in Major League Baseball because then you could go on a run like the Nationals. But that's why I love what the Brewers are doing, because what wins, though, in October and what wins in the postseason? It's been proven, man, it's pitching. You know, you could win games in the postseason 3-1. In the regular season, there's going to be like, God, Corbin Burns is going to need some run support. But in the regular season, there's going to be those games where he's not going to get it. But in the postseason, you can win baseball games like that way. In fact, that's how you win baseball games. You win those pitcher duels. So that you got to be happy with what the Brewers are doing right now. And here's the thing. If the offense looks great right now, again, and it is, we'll see tonight. Tonight you're going to face a real Major League Baseball pitcher. That's going to be a good test in Kyle Hendricks. But if you are in contention and maybe the bats are struggling a little bit, you're good defensively, obviously, with Colton Wong and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Lorenzo Cain, who should be a Gold Glover every year. You could add another bat at the deadline. You know, even if it's another dude like Vogelbach, who is just going to come in for pinch hit situations and hit a couple dingers.
Well, I think it was earlier this hour.
You gotta be happy.
When I was reading some of the batting averages, and again, sorry, batting averages.
I still care about batting average. You don't have to apologize to me on that. I like OPS and I like batting.
Well, what I'm apologizing, why I do it is for Emig.
For Paul. Yeah, I was going to say, just call him out.
Because sometimes, because Emig, good buddy Paul Emig.
Love him.
He'll, you know, catch the show maybe a little later, and then he'll text me at like...
He read Moneyball a little bit, a couple too many times.
He'll text me at 2:30 and say, 7 a.m. hour, you're talking about batting average. Why? And I was like, Paul.
See, the thing about Moneyball is, screw Moneyball in my opinion. Let me throw this out there real quick.
Are you saying screw Paul Emig?
No, I love Paul.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm saying like Moneyball is a bunch of garbage. Moneyball. Why did the Dodgers win the World Series last year? Because they took all their money and they threw it at the best players available. Yeah, there's Moneyball right
that's
there.
That's the real Moneyball.
You know what I mean?
Spend Moneyball.
Why did the Astros win a World Series? Why did they prevail? Oh, because they cheated. Why did the Cubs win a World Series? Because they hit on their prospects, but they also threw a bunch of money out there, you know, and they had to pay Jason Hayward and Chapman, and they had to go out there and get John Lester. That's the thing. So, like, you have to build your prospects, right? But you also do have to spend money. Like, because it's good, like, the Dodgers just throw out money, man.
Yeah, the Dodgers are, the Brewers couldn't afford Corey Knebel, and the Dodgers could.
But, you know what?
And now he's working out for them.
You know what? It's like we always say the Yankees.
He took a $6 million rehab risk that's paying off.
The Yankees, like, is stacked as they are right now. They've done it right, actually, the last 10 years. Actually, not the last 10 years, not the last decade. The last 5 years, though, they realized, handing out these big contracts isn't going to win us World Series. Like, yeah, you do. Like, you'll give out a big deal to Stanton. But you also have to trade for prospects, and that's what they did. And then when you're ready to win, then you could go out and, you know, sign Gerrit Cole. But there's no reason to sign these big-name pitchers when you're not ready to win, like Gerrit Cole. The Yankees had the right lineup. They had a decent enough bullpen, which then they fixed even more. And then they were like, okay, Gerrit Cole's available. Now we go out there and spend money. But you can't do it every single year or every other year.
One last note I want to say on the Brewers. I was talking about their batting averages with, apologies to our good buddy. But Lorenzo Cain, 160. Vogelbach, 154. Urias, 103. Bradley Jr., 129. Hira, 129. there are guys that are not hitting well, yet the offense has been good the last three games. But this is a team that's built on pitching and defense.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it. It's a 6-4 record, so you're seeing it. So eventually these bats will get going, and eventually all three phases of the game will be there. But this is not a team that need – they can win if they've got a handful of guys batting 100 points under what they're supposed to be. This is a team built to withstand those kind of struggles.
Yeah, and, like, that's the other thing is I'm not looking at team batting average right now because – again, it's the start of the season. Last year was a fake season. You did have spring training this year, but still, like, things are going to be weird to start. And the ball's different. But I look at it like this, is even if the team batting average isn't where I want it to be all season long, I trust that this team has guys that in big situations will step up. So if it's Lorenzo Cain hitting a three-run shot in extra innings to beat the Cubs, you know, you have that veteran bat. It'll be him one game. If it's Daniel Vogelbach, then it's him one game. If it's Urias off the bench in a pinch hit situation where nobody wants to see him, then it's him one game. If it's Travis Shaw getting three hits, but then maybe going 0-for-4, it's him. And what you need is you got to get Christian Yelich fully healthy, got to get the back healed up, and then he's the guy that has to every, you know, you do want him hitting over 280 or OPS, whatever your preferred stat is. You know, you do want him showing up consistently. But that's what I like about this lineup right now is that, yeah, I mean, with Jackie Bradley Jr. Is never going to be a 350 hitter, but he's a guy that'll get hot, and he could get hot in a big series. He was an ALCS MVP. He's had big hits, big homers in the World Series before. So, you know, in big game situations, you know, in clutch situations, which in baseball I do believe in, like, there is the clutch gene in baseball. Like, Ryan Braun, you know, is living proof of that. And, So that's what I like about this lineup right now. You know, there's not going to be a bunch of guys that hit 300, but there's going to be a bunch of guys that show up big in big situations, in big games, like we're seeing in this series.
You know who's going to show up big when you give them a call?
Windows Select. Yeah, they got to buy one,
gonna,
get one.
They're going to show up real big.
Yeah.
Windows Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowsselect.com. Check them out. They've got the buy one, get one deal on the windows. And for those of you that are not good at math, I will try to explain it. If you need two windows, you buy one window and you get one free, all right? So if you need four windows, you're going to pay for two, but then the other two are free. And now there's no limit on that. If you need 40 windows, you're getting 20 of those for nothing, for free. It's a really good deal that they continue to have at Windows Select. Plus, when you do get installed, the windows, the siding, the doors, what they will do for you is not collect anything out of your pocketbook for a full year. So you can make it very affordable, plan it out, and again, you're only paying for half the windows that you're purchasing. Windows, siding, and doors, they can do that all. These are high-quality, energy-efficient doors, and they come with a double lifetime warranty. If something happens, I was just talking to Justin yesterday, if something happens to one of the things that they installed and it breaks, what he told me was, no questions asked, we'll come out and repair it. All right? So take that as you will. But they will come and repair it. It's under the double lifetime warranty when you do go with the Windows Select products. 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Check them out, windowsselect.com. Has the novelty worn off? For me, it has. What am I talking about? We'll tell you next.
I'd love to do Jeopardy more, you say.
I would love to be the host of Jeopardy, yes.
Man, I hope you get it, dude.
Give it to him.
The guy wants it.
Come on.
He's good at everything. He'll shave his face.
Come on.
Good for you, dude.
That's Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee, who is basically the third co-host of this show. He's never been on. He plays clips all the time.
Only in this market, like every other market. Like, you know, Tom Brady's on Boston radio with our company. Our sister station, 670 The Score in Chicago. They got the Cubs pitching coach. Joe Maddon don't even freaking coach the Cubs anymore, and he still goes out with Lawrence Holmes like every week. And yet, Packers don't want to give us Aaron Rodgers. But hey, that's okay. Craig Counsell on the Wendy's Big Show today.
Well, it'd be nice if I had...
I guess, though, then again, they did give us Stearns, and you chickened out, so...
Yeah, I did.
But that was, see, that they should have liked that, though. You did the right thing because you were like, okay, there's a reason why some of the other shows get Mike Budenholzer, because they're going to ask him about Geno's and seeing the naked bicyclers, mm-hmm. and not ask him why he doesn't make adjustments in the playoffs like Horvat would. But why don't you defend the three-point line in the year 2021 when everybody shoots threes?
Well, you know, I'd like to go back with what Pop said in 74.
But instead, we press a little bit. So then you get Stearns on. You play the company man role.
I did.
You compliment his hair.
I did.
Ask him how the wife is. Is he
married? I did. He is.
And, and now all of a sudden we can't get Stearns anymore. Todd was trying all last week, he said.
Well, no, I don't want to paint the teams that way. I haven't reached out to the Brewers in a while for anybody. I could do that again.
But Todd has.
Well, Todd, I don't think we should complain about not getting Rodgers when we don't even try.
I guess that's what it comes down to. I'm complaining because we don't get Rodgers.
But we don't try.
Because we...
None of my producers, whoever it is, Wheelo producer.
Everybody's tried to get Rodgers and Favre for the last 6 years. Okay, you got to pay Rodgers, eh? You know how that goes.
Try.
Unless you're McAfee.
Why don't you try?
He did McAfee for free.
Try.
Because they had the inside with AJ Hawk. We need AJ Hawk. You know, we got Leroy. That should help.
We got you.
I'm not a former Packer.
You paid to go to the Hall of Fame banquet.
I'm an owner. And guess who's never at the Hall of Fame banquet? Rodgers. He's at Disney with Shailene Woodley. And last night, oh my God, by the way, I had to bring this up. All right. I'm getting Instagram notifications again. Rodgers was on a live last night again. And he was doing the thing that my wife and my son do when they're in the next room, and then they take me pictures where, like, it's them, and then their faces become like unicorns or like, you know, poop emojis, and then they get a big kick out of it. Rodgers was doing that with his girl last night, and they were avatars.
A terrible movie.
Yeah, I know, but did you see this?
No.
He's really like going all in. Like, this reminds me of like when your buddy, or even when you fall in love for the first time and you fall a little too deep and like, you know, your boys don't really want to be your boy anymore because, like, you're ditching them every Friday night and they're like, hey, come on, man, let's go to Cimino's and get a pizza and watch the fight. And you're like, I don't know, I think me and Kelly are actually going to go wine tasting. And they're like, oh, that's cool, man, she's a good girl. But then the next weekend, you're like going to a Tupperware party with her. Tupperware? I don't know why I said it like that. That's, I think, where Rodgers is heading. He's at Disney. He's doing Avatar stuff. What's next, man?
I know a Tupperware distributor if you need some.
No,
Rosie Merton.
Don't give my wife that idea.
Oh, no, she'll do a party. She'll come down, I'm sure, and do a party.
What's it called? You know in the movie Ghost when Swayze and Demi Moore? Oh, my.
Pottery.
I always wanted to do that with my wife, but like in that mode. Like where I'm just behind her. Wait, hold on. Doing the pottery. Never mind. On with the Jackie Bradley Jr. batting average.
No, I wanted to talk about Rodgers. You know, this is something we've noticed about him. If we're going to get knee-deep in the relationship, he falls in love hard. Not just with women, but, like, with his teammates.
He's like a character in a show. It's Rodgers.
Rodgers loves everybody after he meets
you for the very first time. That is who Aaron is.
Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah. Every season, he's got a new girl.
Yeah, but Jerry's got three consistent friends. I don't know if Rodgers has any consistent friends.
I want to send a RIP.
Like 1 year, Martellus Bennett is Kramer, but then they're on a falling out.
Yeah.
And then, well, Martellus Bennett now might be like a Newman. Or like Ryan Braun, he's like Banya now. Yeah, because Rodgers has these buddies. How many times have we heard Rodgers say, oh, yeah, Randall Cobb, he's my best friend?
Well, they are. Like him, Jordy, James Jones, those guys are really close, though. And those guys are all really, I feel like they're just like a fraternity of dudes. I mean, you saw it like, okay, so that last game, I mean, still, I have the photo hanging up in my room of Rodgers and Cobb. That embrace right there, there was nothing fake about that. That's two guys that love, they were in each other's wedding. Well, he was in Cobb's wedding and Jordy's. I think those three, I think all the guys that came up together love each other. That's why Aaron and AJ are so close. You know what I mean? And Aaron's talked about that, and that's what Brett used to talk about as well. When you become the old guy in the locker room, that's why I think Rodgers did a great job this year. This was his best year really becoming a leader. The way that, you know, he kind of took on that role. But you see him, like, interacting with Jamal and Aaron Jones. It also is
it helps when you got a locker room like the Packers do. You got a bunch of personalities, but a bunch of good dudes in that locker room. Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith, some big personalities, but no divas. So I think that that helps a little bit too. But like, that's the thing about Rodgers, man, is like, you got to think of it. All of his buddies, all the guys he came into the league with are gone. It's him, Mason Crosby, and yeah, Tremont's gone now. So he has to, it's almost like, it'd almost be like if you were in high school, but it's like the dude in, it's like McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. You know, everybody gets older and you just stay the same. You got the point there.
No, I did. It was good.
You know, like Rodgers is just like, you know, he's
he laid it out pretty good.
Yeah, you know, everybody keeps graduating, but he's just staying in high school. It's just weird. It's like kind of like, it's got to be really weird. It was like when I went back to Western Illinois when my brother was there, and I was only like 27 years old, and I was like, yeah, I'll go party it up in my own stomping grounds. And you get there, and like night one, an hour into it, like you're like, wow, I'm old. Like, does that person really have a visor backwards but frontwards right now? I don't fit in here. Like Rodgers.
No,
has to
when
feel
I
like
still
that.
Go back to Fonny football games, I try to sit in the student section.
You used to wear your hockey your soccer Letterman.
Yeah, wear my Letterman's jacket. It says O2 on it, and they're like, "What the hell?" I go, "Oh, it's backwards. It's supposed to be 2-0." I
captain. It says
just graduated. They say you look like you're 65 years old and you've been chewed out and spit out, and those bags under your eyes. Those can't be hereditary. And I say, all right, I'll just go home.
You know, I got those too. Doesn't help that I'm staying up last night. And then I couldn't sleep. Like, the worst is you stay up to watch a West Coast basketball game, and then you can't sleep an hour until 90 minutes after it because you keep refreshing Jamal Murray's name into your search engine to make sure that he's okay.
Or you just go to bed at 10 o'clock and move on with your life.
Can't. I'm not wired that way.
Is Jamal Murray okay? We'll talk some NBA coming up. We got to figure out if Giannis is okay. We'll talk about that next hour. With Rodgers hosting Jeopardy, this is something where I went from like 60 to zero. Because night one, you know, my mother-in-law stays with us a couple of nights of the week to help watch baby boy. So she's there, and my wife's in the living room, and I'm in the living room. And we sat down to watch Rodgers night one of Jeopardy like it was a Packer game. And it was fun, and it was great, and it was what a day. Night two, I watched it live. Night three, I watched it a little bit on DVR. Night four, I watched it like later that night. Friday's episode is DVR'd, but I haven't watched it yet. Last night, I just flat out forgot to tape it. So Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And the novelty of that has worn off much faster than I thought it would.
Yeah, I gotta
be
honest.
I wanted to give myself the benefit of the doubt and say, Bart, Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy. This is a big deal. You're going to make sure you watch everyone. It doesn't have to be live. You can still tape it. Now I'm even forgetting to tape them.
Yeah, I haven't watched since the first one. Not going to lie.
Oh, you haven't watched at all?
No, and they're on my DVR. I don't care. I feel like I probably...
Why, though? We should.
I know we should. I just... there's games, man. There's games going on to talk about right now.
It takes you 15 minutes to watch an episode of Jeopardy.
I know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. We got baseball on during the day, and I got the MLB package. And like I said, like that was the thing about baseball. Usually you watch the Brewers, and that's it. I don't know. I've kind of been getting into – I don't know if it was just because last season sucked. It's nice to have fans back at the ballpark, but I've been watching a lot of out-of-market games. Just yeah, the noon games, if I go home and the Yankees are on, I'll watch them. I don't know. I just haven't got it. I couldn't – he's doing a great job, and I love Jeopardy. Just – can't get into it. I don't know why lately.
What if he's the full-time host?
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch occasionally, but
do you think there's any chance that happens?
No.
Because the Jeopardy producers are raving about him.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be the case. I don't think he'll be the full-time host. I don't think that ends up happening. He says that he thinks he can make it work right now, but I think that would be a huge pain in the ass, having to tape 10 episodes doing wardrobe changes, because he did say that he does wardrobe changes because he films, obviously, all the episodes in one day. I just feel like that would wear on him a little bit. You know, it's kind of like when you agree to do something. It's like on Wednesday when my wife says, hey, on Sunday we're going to do 5 miles on the bike. And I'm like, hell yeah, we are. But then Sunday rolls along and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. You know, the first month he'd probably be like, this is a lot of fun. I'm quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, you'd have to tape during the bye week. You'd have to tape a bunch.
Right. And then, but
be
then like.
Exhausted. And we'd be
week
like,
seven
why
hits.
Is your ass in the history book and not the playbook?
Week six hits. You know, it's a bad practice week. It's one of the losses. It's a scheduled loss where you LaFleur says he got away from the run game. It was a bad week of practice. Rodgers is moody. He's got his scotch. And then he's got to go in the next day and do 10 episodes of Jeopardy on a Monday after a loss and 13 glasses of scotch. Trust me, it gets old real quick, even if you like doing something. So I don't
it's like
it
Howard Stern, he does his morning show, but then for a couple of years he did America's Got Talent, and they paid him $15 million to do it.
Yeah.
But all he did was complain about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. Like, Ryan Seacrest has way too many jobs, and he doesn't complain about any of them. I saw that when Nick Wright, who I enjoy his work, when he took on, he was doing a radio show, I believe, at SiriusXM, as well as all the Fox Sports 1 stuff. And I saw on the internet, Scott Van Pelt was giving him some industry advice, I guess, some advice, and said, don't burn yourself out. And that's what I listen to a lot of SVP stuff, like the podcast he does, because he's probably, you know, if I could have one person's career, it'd be SVP. He's my favorite in the business. He's the best broadcaster in the business. Him, Dan Patrick, whichever order you want to go, in my opinion. But he was saying that that's what he was doing when he was doing the radio show. That's why he had to get away from the radio show and just wanted to do the SVP Sports Center, because he was burning himself out. Imagine being a starting quarterback and also being a host of Jeopardy, even if it's just one day a week where you're filming all the episodes. It'd wear on him. I don't think he could do it. Even a guy like Rodgers, don't think he could do it. But then again, if he heard me say that, then he would do it. Or if anybody like says that, you know what I mean? Everybody said he wouldn't win another MVP. Look what happened.
Yeah, Rodgers is continually chasing an itch to scratch.
Yeah.
He's not trying to scratch an itch. He's always like, I scratched that itch. I need a new itch. I need another chip on my shoulder. There was an article, ESPN.com, I'm sorry, fourletternetwork.com, from Rob Demosky over the weekend, not friend of show, he does not like us.
Actually, has us blocked, yeah.
Yeah. And he was talking to coaches and front office personnel and agents, and he was talking about how Rodgers, so here's the paragraph. This is from an unsourced agent, or a sourced agent, an unnamed agent. The agent tells Rob Demosky, I don't know who's calling the shots over there, but Rodgers is screwing the Packers in a lot of ways right now because there's no cap space. They've called me, the agent says, about one of my players, and they've said, hey, this is where we're now, and until we get something big done, hint, hint, Rodgers, we don't have any space. So the agent says it's kind of like a lose-lose situation right now. That's what's surprising to me. You think there would be a middle ground to get something done. Of course, that's a pretty, you know, normal. Like, he's holding, like, his contract, they have to figure it out before they can have more money to sign other people. Pro Football Talk's article was, Rodgers holding up free agency.
Yeah, does Football Talk, Florio, ever think that maybe he's being used in some of this, though, too? Because if I'm the Green Bay Packers, and I'm Brian Gutekunst, and I'm working with Russ Ball on this cap situation, and I got my main man, Mark Murphy, on my right side, and we're making phone calls about free agents, two agents, or even like if I'm looking at a trade and you're talking about signing somebody to a deal, I'm going to lowball them as much as possible. And that would be an excuse that I would use, right? Hey, we want to pay this guy more. There may be more money and incentives, and there may be more money here in the future. We could reconstruct, redo a deal, or maybe sign short term, and then we'll get something done here when we get this Rodgers situation in order. But that's how I would lowball somebody to try to go all in for Aaron Rodgers without redoing the deal, right? Because it's an excuse that's right there for you. That's what I would use the lowball teams. So that's the only thing with guys like Florio in the media. Like, you know, a lot of us think really highly of ourselves.
Yeah, I do.
You know what
too.
I mean? Like GMs are just like Coward and all these guys. Like, oh, I talked to this scout who tells me that Zach Wilson's better than Trevor Lawrence. Oh yeah, well then that scout's an idiot. And he should quit his job because everybody's known Trevor Lawrence was going to be the first pick of this draft since 2015 when he was the backup quarterback on his JV team, okay? Like, come on now. You're getting used. So that's my only problem with the biz is people that think a little bit high, like, you know what I mean? Oh, well, I talked to this guy's agent, okay, and he fed you BS. And now you're going to pump it out and it's going to leak everywhere. And then he's going to end up getting what he wants or getting a deal done even sooner. And that's what I would do, but that's what I'd do if I was the Packers. Hey, Will Fuller, we would love to give you 4 years, $75 million, but we can't because we got this Aaron Rodgers guy that's going to throw you the football and make you even more money.
I mean, they got Devin Funchess to take a 40% pay cut when there's other receivers in his bracket and skill level that are making $10 million this season.
Dude, all you got to do, like, with like losing out on guys like Allen Robinson and even Emmanuel Sanders, guys that choose not to come back to come to Green Bay, it's too bad that you can't just bring them for a year. Because once guys become Packers, they never want to leave Green Bay. I mean, Funch is all he had to do was probably step into the building, and you're like, oh, I never want to leave here. It's awesome. Like, playing for the – like, I get it, too. It's kind of like if you go to one of these, like, SEC schools or even, like, Big 12 schools where they don't have pro sports. You know, like, in Alabama, like, you are a god there. You're a legend forever if you play for the Crimson Tide. And that's kind of how it is in Green Bay. Like, you're the only game in town, really. So,
like, a lot of times I go to the gas station and people approach me. Yeah. These kids got to have somebody else go to the gas station for them.
Like, as corny, though, and cliche as the Packer tradition is, the Packer way, you sell people on it. You know, really good free agents. You know, why would Julius Peppers, his lifestyle, you know, he convinced his beautiful girlfriend to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, though, and he didn't want to leave. Charles Woodson didn't want to leave. So I feel like all we got to do is just get these guys here. You know, if we could have just had Allen Robinson here for a year. So, yeah.
With Rodgers, the whole situation, I talk about there being smoke, there being fire. I think that everybody's saying pretty much the right thing. I mean, I don't know if Rodgers should get this extension. Probably not an extension. He's under contract for a few years. But they just want to move the money around. I think that's what Rodgers would prefer. Move the money around so that you have some financial stake in me. He's not asking to be signed till 2028. He's just wanting to know that you can't easily move on from me after this year, like it looks like you're gonna. And Gutekunst, you know, he's got to balance the cap, so he's kind of in that mode. LaFleur obviously is his coach, so he's saying, yes, you know, Rodgers is great, hip hip hooray. The thing that I'm having a problem with is when Mark Murphy talked to reporters a couple of weeks ago and he like thought he was being tricked. Hey, can you tell us about Rodgers? You're not gonna fool me, Mark. That's not what we're doing. We want to know, like, you're willing. Your franchise is willingly going down the path of Brett Favre again, that divided the fan base. You're willingly doing that, and your response to that is you're not gonna trick me into an answer. Can you at least just say, yeah, Rodgers is our guy? And this is what the article goes on to say with Rob Demosky. Just lie. Lie. Dude. Mark, it's much better for you to say, yes, Rodgers is our guy, we're committed to him, and then to pull off and be called a liar than it is to do whatever the hell they're doing.
No, seriously. And the thing is Favre had a great year that last year in Green Bay, obviously. I mean, they should have won the Super Bowl that year. They were in the NFC Championship game. He played like an MVP. But Rodgers is much better this stage of his career. I mean, Rodgers is the best quarterback. Talk about Patrick Mahomes all you want. I know he scrambled away a lot and made some cool throws in the Super Bowl. Rodgers was better this year.
414-799-1250. More on the Packers. The Brewers get a big win. A big inning. A crooked inning. Yesterday to beat the Cubs. They now improve to 6-4. And the Bucks back at it on Wednesday. When will Giannis be back at it? Some cause for concern there. Much more to come. Along with you guys, Ryan Horvath, Bart Winkler on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.